Good afternoon. It's Thursday. Oh my, I was just looking. It's the first day of winter. I didn't notice that till just now. December 21st. First day of winter 2017, 15 minutes past 1 o'clock. You're tuned into the Now program, and I want to give you a quick programming note before we get to this hour, and this is going to be a fun hour. Coming up tomorrow morning, 11:15 on this station, we're going to be joined by Carolyn Grimes. Now, do you remember who Carolyn Grimes was? She was Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life. She was the little girl at the end of the movie who jumps in Jimmy Stewart's arms and they ring the bell. Tomorrow, Carolyn Grimes live at 11:15 a.m. And do you love the Christmas music? I'm sure you do. Tomorrow morning at 11:40, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Who was the original performer? Brenda Lee. Tomorrow morning, we will have Brenda Lee at 11:40. She recorded that great Christmas hit in 1960. Now, Christmas Eve. Here is something you're not going to want to miss. 9:10 to 11 p.m., we are going to replay in its entirety the WWGH Christmas Special, musical performances by Paul and Glenna Savage, Charlie Evers reads 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Linda Sims was here, the Leshechny family, great musical family. You probably saw them at Christmas at the Palace. They did some numbers. Terry Klein, Patty Worcester. It was a fun night, Tuesday night. We're going to replay that in its entirety, Christmas Eve, 9:10 to 11 p.m. Then at 11:10 on Christmas Eve, it's the WWGH Christmas Eve special, all about Christmas music. I will host that. We're going to have Brenda Lee, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Dr. Elmo, who originally recorded Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, 1979, and Gayla Peavy, who originally recorded in 1953, All I Want for Christmas. No, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. She's the original performer of that from 1953. They will all be on Christmas Eve at 11:15, and Charlie will read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So that is coming up, and in the new year, we have got specials galore. December 29th at 5:10. Hosted by Adam Lepp, it's the best of the Now program, this program, from the last year. Guests include Michael Dukakis, Bob Barker, Charles Grodin, Dick Cavett, Phil Donahue, granddaughter of Eleanor Roosevelt Seagraves, Ed Asner, Dick Gregory, the whole bunch, and then WWGH remembers 4:10 on December 29th. The people who've been on this program who we lost in 2017, Monty Hall, Robert Guillaume, Liz Smith, Dick Gregory, Professor Irwin Corey, Judge Joseph Wapner, and Reverend Leroy Jenkins. So that is what's coming up. And now we are to the current hour. Now, this is going to be a lot of fun. Our guest is one of my absolute favorites. And this is the 10th anniversary of us working together on radio and in television. She is a treasure in Marion, one of our great people, the 40th treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, so glad to see you.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Scott. I'm always amazed at all of these celebrities that you get. You're gone through quite a bunch there.
I got winded just running down the list there of what's going on. So busy this time of year.
Yes. Well, I didn't realize that Corey Irwin, or what was his name?
Irwin Corey?
Irwin Corey had died, yeah.
He was 102.
No kidding.
102.
Yeah, I remember him.
He was
funny.
Funny.
Yes.
Funny and no vulgar language.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did not, in his comedy act, he did not use vulgar language.
Yeah.
And he was blacklisted.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, for being in one of those Red Channel books.
Yeah.
Because he was born in 1914.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was an interesting guy.
Yes, yeah. Well, he always put on quite a show.
he certainly did. Mary Ellen, as I said, this is a 10th anniversary, December 2007, I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell the audience. You were living in Maryland at the time, but you came home for the holiday.
Yeah.
And this was such a fun story for me because I had been in radio and I'd always wanted to have you on. And I knew you did not live in town anymore, but so I tried to call everywhere. I remember trying to call the Treasury office and trying to get in touch with people, and nobody ever had your phone number.
Uh-huh.
Could never get a hold of it. And then it was the week between Christmas and New Year, and I don't know why it sprung in my mind, but I thought, I know her son-in-law, Mr. Rizzo, from Taft. So I called Mr. Rizzo up, who's married to your daughter.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what a matter of, I said, could you give me Mary Ellen's number? And he said, I could, but she's not there. She's in Marion for the holiday. And I said, oh, that's tremendous. I said, do you think she would come on the radio with me? And he said, well, I'll give her your information and have her give you a call. And I thought, honestly, you would just call in because it was the holidays and you were in town visiting people. And I remember you called and you were so kind. And all you said was, what time do you want me there? And you came, and everybody at the radio station wanted to take a picture with you and had you sign money. And it was a big deal that you were coming in that day. And here we are 10 years later and a lot of interviews.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of interesting. You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal. And I know you don't do much media anymore. But you're always so kind to me. And I want to take the... I always thank you when we're done, but I want to thank you on the air for 10 years of being so kind to me.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it, Scott. You know, I always say you're the best interviewer I ever had that I do an interview with. I really like to do them.
Well, it's you, and may it continue. We're not going to stop at 10 years. We're going to go on
right.
into the next years. Christmas time, Mary Ellen. What does this time of year mean to you?
Well, it means that it's going to be the end of the year, and I'm going to have to pay my taxes. And that, of course, all the talk about the new tax bill has been all over the TV. And Christmas means getting together with your family. That's the main thing.
You know, to talk about this tax bill for a minute, because we couldn't help but talk about what's going on. We have to.
No.
We have to.
Yeah.
I was reading the other day that this tax bill is doing away with the deductions for entertainers, that people who are writing off travel money, food when they are at a, you know, go to a different town to perform. A lot of people angry about this new tax bill.
Well, I don't know everything that's in it yet. I'm curious. And they say they're going to implement it right away. I thought they'd take a while, you know, to let everybody get their figures together, because it's going to be enormous for all the companies and everything to try to figure out what it's going to be for everybody.
Well, I keep hearing they're going to double the standard deduction, but I don't know what that means, because I thought the standard deduction was $10,400, something like that, for a single person. So does that mean it's $20,000 that you don't know the particulars?
I don't know, but you know, the thing that surprised me was I heard last night that Puerto Rico is no longer part of the United States, that was in the bill. It's now a foreign country.
I did not hear that.
Well, it was on Rachel Maddow's show that was the situation, and the governor is just furious. He's going to get even, he said. He's going to make sure that the people that are here in the United States vote against whoever runs that voted for this bill. He said he can control 14 states. I thought that was interesting.
So that means now that Puerto Rico has no right that a U.S. citizen would have.
No, I mean, it's terrible, I think. I was trying to remember what president brought in Puerto Rico, and I didn't know if it was Teddy Roosevelt or it was somebody along in that time period.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. And And, you know, I mean, what this means to them is probably tremendous.
Well, I would, I was also watching last night on CNN, and I had heard that Republican Susan Collins, that they had made promises to her.
Yeah.
And when the bill was finally signed, the promises were not in there.
Yeah, that's, I heard that too. Yeah.
That's not going to be good for
no
people.
Well, and what happened to the guy that was so against everything and then he voted for it?
McCain?
No.
Rubio?
No. The guy that announced right after Flake that he wasn't going to vote for the last bill. It isn't Booker, but it's something like that. All of a sudden, I can't think of it. But I really, you would know it if you heard the name.
Rubio at one point did not want to vote for it, and they had to make changes.
Yeah, they got the child, whatever it was in it. Yeah, the what'd they call it? The child something.
It's some kind of deduction, I
think,
when it
And
that's, I think, the problem. We, as American people, don't vote on these bills, but we don't know what's in them.
Not yet. My goodness, they didn't have any time to hardly study them, you know.
I tell you, last night our congressman, Jim Jordan, I saw him on CNN. He's all about this Mueller investigation.
Oh, isn't that awful?
Well, he keeps saying that Mueller... Honestly, you have to watch the interview, Mary Ellen. I'm sure they'll replay it. Watch CNN, because basically, the point of it, he was so furious. He wouldn't let the interviewer talk, and he kept screaming and yelling, and he kept saying... His essence was, I don't trust Mueller because... The FBI guy who was working for him had emailed some things about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And the interviewer kept saying, so are you trying to discredit Mueller? And then Jordan would go, well, no, I don't know that yet. But he kept saying, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens there because, they had a speech on the Senate floor yesterday about Mueller. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Yeah. And... they've got to let him do what he's supposed to do.
Well, it's kind of interesting because for people who don't follow the news extremely close, President Trump's lawyers have met now with Mueller's team. So they kind of know where this investigation is going. Now, the thought is that if it's bad, that Trump will use the holiday to fire him to try to get it away from the news cycle, which is what that speech was on the floor yesterday. I forget who gave the speech.
Well, the guy from Virginia, and I know him, and here I can't think of his name either. You know, I draw these blanks all the time. I think the president's son-in-law is the one they're concerned about. They think's going to have something, and that would probably... set Trump off, you know.
Well, they have said, the gentleman who spoke on the floor yesterday, his speech was basically, if you do this, it's a constitutional crisis. Now, why would he give that speech? Because, to my knowledge, the White House hasn't said they're going to fire him. So something tells me there's something going on there.
Well, they said that this group, Nunes and his cronies were meeting privately and going over these papers that they had gotten, and they were building a case against Mueller on these papers is what was going on, and the FBI. Yeah,
It's the most peculiar thing because now I have heard little bits and pieces that hasn't made the mainstream yet, but that people are saying we haven't found out Well, it was in Hillary Clinton's book. I read her What Happened book. And she says in there, she says, they're investigating and they haven't found that they've tapped into voting machines yet. But I spoke to Eleanor Cliff on Monday, and she told me that there's some worry about this, that now they're starting to look at it, that they would not have really known if they tampered with the voting machines.
Really?
Yeah. So this could be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, for the country. Yeah, it could be.
You were around during the Watergate scandal.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What do you think of, how does this compare?
Well, of course, that was a robbery, and I guess if he starts firing the investigators is when it's going to look really like Watergate. But I watched Watergate every day on TV. I didn't miss a day, I don't think.
Yeah, it was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
I just do you think Mueller will make it?
I think so. He has such respect from the majority of the people. It's just this group of Republicans that are trying to taint things, I think is what they're trying to do.
Things going off everywhere.
Yeah, but anyway, I think he'll be all right. I have faith that he will be.
Do you think that what do you make of President Trump's first year?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble.
I thought I would hold the desk before I asked that question.
I think he's been terrible. I have never seen anything like it. It's unreal to stand up there and lie to the people. I mean, yesterday it was one lie after another about that bill. And it's just every day. It's all these lies.
What's your nearest, guess why he does that?
Well, he wants to make himself look good. And I mean, when he has something that he's proud of, and he's quite proud of this bill that passed, and then he lies about it. He wouldn't have to. It wasn't necessary, you know.
Yeah, it's very confusing. It's very confusing because I'm not sure why that tends to happen with him. And I think his own party doesn't like it.
Oh, no, I don't think they do either. They cannot control him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fascinating thing. I want to get back to Christmas now. Kind of get away because it's... Well, did you read Hillary Clinton's new book?
Yes.
What did you make of it?
Well, let me say this. Right now I'm reading Bill Clinton's book that he wrote in 2004. I never wrote it. Somebody gave it to me the other day. And it is so good. But everything in Hillary's book, I think I pretty much knew, you know. I had followed everything pretty closely, and there wasn't anything new in there. And I tell you, it's so hard on people to lose elections that writing a book right after an election, I would hate to see a book I wrote after when I lost the clerk of courts race. It would have been a terrible book.
Why do you think she did it?
Well, I think she had all of this on her mind. She just wanted to get it in a book, I'm sure.
It's a good book,
yeah.
I think, but it's a different type of book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if she had been more open during the election that maybe it would have been different?
Yeah, she's a reserved person. And I think that, they always say this, everybody that runs for president, and if they lose, they're so much nicer afterwards. I mean, they seem so much more relaxed, and it relaxes them to be out of that stress, you know.
Yeah.
And I think she was very uptight, trying not to do anything wrong, and then the email thing was enough to drive anybody crazy, you know?
Well, do you believe that was all a smokescreen, the email?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure it was.
Yeah, it...
But they drove it right up a tree, you know? I mean, it was there, and you couldn't get rid of it. It was there every day. And then Comey did that right a few days before the election. I think that really did extreme damage. Yeah.
Where were you on election night?
I was at home, in bed, listening to this horrible mess, you know.
Watching that happen, did you think Hillary was going to win?
Yeah, I thought she was going to win. Everybody else thought she was going to win.
What do you think happened?
Well, I think people changed their minds and some stayed home. I think that's what happened. I think Comey's thing with the email had a lot to do with it. And then, of course, they were releasing stuff daily, you know, from the WikiLeaks. That was bad. And that was all Russia.
You know, all the presidential elections in my life, I always had a pretty good idea who was going to win going in that night. Even in 2004, I thought Bush would pull it out. I totally was wrong on this one. I didn't think Hillary would win Ohio, but I didn't think she would lose the election.
No.
So it was an interesting night, I remember.
Yeah, well, it was not a good night, I'll tell you that.
What do you think the country saw in Donald Trump?
Well, they thought he would change things. I think they believed him, and they thought that he would make. Well, they were fed up with Congress. You know what they were doing to the president. It was terrible. Not letting him have anything to work with, and they just got fed up with all of this, and people are still fed up with Congress. I tell you, when you looked at him yesterday after all of the complaints they had about Trump, and then they were all just praising him and saying how a wonderful president he was, and yesterday it was quite a study in human nature. And just look at the demonstrations that they had after the election. That's enough to tell you. Well, and then there's like, I don't know, 600 and some women running this year, you know, next year. And that's unusual.
It is interesting. Do you think this is going to cause more women to be elected?
Yes, I do.
Do you think Hillary will ever get over this?
No, you never get over a loss like that. Yeah.
What do you make of Joe Biden out on the book tour and not closing the door on running?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I try to guess what people are going to do, and I don't usually do a very good job at that. We'll have to just watch that. Also, Bernie Sanders is out there too, and you know what's been interesting lately is Tim Ryan. He is picking up steam. I am very impressed with Tim Ryan, but. Anyway, next year we've got the governor's race here. You know, I'm very involved in that.
Somebody came in the other day and said, did you know Mary Ellen was the treasurer for Rich Cordray?
Mm-hmm.
How did that all come about?
Well, I was his treasurer when he ran for attorney general and state treasurer. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
No, and when I was thinking about running for governor, he was interested in being on the ticket with me, and we go way back. We've known each other 30 years, I bet.
What do you think his chances are?
Very good. Yes. He's got such a resume that it's a perfect resume to run for governor.
The Republican side is
DeWine, yeah.
DeWine. What did you make of DeWine and Husted? I still... They announced it that they were teaming up, but only mm-hmm. one can be governor, and it looks like it's going to be DeWine who's the candidate.
Yeah.
What did you make of that move?
Well, he was trying to, I suppose he was trying to build on anything. People were wondering who the lieutenant governor was going to be, so that was the answer to that. You don't have to do that, but, you know, I think he wanted to strengthen the ticket.
Do you think that DeWine will get the nomination? Mary Taylor is still hanging in there.
Well, if I were to guess right now, I would say that DeWine would get it. She's probably got a good chance to do well.
What did you make of his move, DeWine's moves, to sue the opioid companies and some litigation to keep the Columbus Crew in Ohio? He's made some interesting moves, the Attorney General.
Yeah, well, what I remember, he came out about that murder down in southern Ohio that never got solved. That's what I remember about DeWine.
A lot of people remember that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Did you think Cordray was going to get in? There was a lot of talk.
I thought he was. I went to a Democratic event in Columbus several months ago, and the talk among everybody down there was that they thought he was going to get in, and I was really excited about it then. Then when he resigned from his job, I was so excited about it.
What did you make of all the talk of Jerry Springer thinking of running that was going
well,
on?
Well, I was hoping he didn't run, yeah.
Do you think he'd be good in the general next year to campaign for Cordray?
I would not want to see him in the campaign.
Who are his allies in the state? Who would you like to see campaign for him?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people campaigning for him. I think there's going to be a lot of support for him. All my friends that I talked to, I did an event for a woman in Columbus that ran for clerk of courts, Lori Tyack, and Columbus is very excited about Rich Cordray.
I had Mary Taylor on at one point.
Did you?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And I said to her, I said, if you could have, because Governor Kasich and President Trump do not see eye to eye. And I asked her, mm-hmm. I said, who would you want to campaign for you? And she said, well, I'd take any help I could get. Do you see the Republican nominee being more of somebody who would want the current governor to campaign for them or the president? Who would best serve that side at this point?
That's a tough question. I certainly wouldn't want the president if I were her. He's got some support, but I think a lot of people have changed their mind on him. I think a lot of people respected Kasich for what he did in the everything where he went against Trump and stood his ground. I really give him credit for that.
Didn't go to the convention.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He
and
definitely
was in his state, yeah.
He drew a line.
Right.
He drew a line. What is it about Cordray, because there are a lot of Democrats running, that makes him the best candidate?
Oh, he's got his resume. I mean, he's been in all three levels of government. You know, he was Franklin County Treasurer, and then he was State Treasurer, and then he was Attorney General, and then he was a consumer. I always have trouble saying that. Consumer. The Consumer Protection Agency.
Oh, okay.
Yes, head of that. The thing to be chosen for that by the president. Think about that for a moment. And then what he did in that position, he got, it was, I think it was $30 million from several different groups, banks. And in fact, I'm not sure on that figure. I'm trying to remember here.
Yeah, we're chatting with Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, currently the treasurer for the Rich Cordray campaign for governor here in Ohio.
Yeah, it was $12 billion from 30 million Americans is what he had acquired while he was in that position, which is really amazing. And then when he was Attorney General, he got money for the state teachers where he confiscated money that had been in fraud and litigation or something that had been a problem. So he's done a lot for different organizations, which I'm sure they remember.
Are you, is it fun to be back a part of a campaign?
Yes, yeah. I was thrilled that he asked me.
How did the that come? Did he give you a call or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he called me three times, and it was on my cell phone, and I thought, who is that? I didn't recognize the number, and so I called the number back, and he said, "Oh, Mary Ellen." I said, "Well, Rich Cordray," and he said, and it, so then he explained what he wanted, and I thought I was on cloud nine for a couple of days after that.
What does the treasurer of a campaign do?
Well, this is in name only. He uses my name. It'll be on the bottom of all his ads.
Will you tape ads for him?
Well, if he asks me. I doubt if he asks me, you know.
Do you plan to be actively involved in the campaign?
Yes, I do plan to be actively involved. I've told him that. He was here at Ramtech a couple of weeks ago, right after he announced, and there was nothing ever in the paper about it. There was a reporter there, but they didn't have it in the paper that he was here.
You know, I'd love to have him on the show.
Yeah, well, okay.
We'll have to set that up.
Yes, okay.
I'd love to talk with him. It's very strange. I don't know what it is, but we have not had any of the Democrats contact us.
Really?
As of yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is strange.
But we've got plenty of time.
Yeah, but you have a lot of, there's a lot of good people running, but they don't have the resume that he's got.
Is a governor's race, at one point, you were courted to be a gubernatorial candidate.
Yes, right.
Remind people of that who don't know that story. That mm-hmm. was at the time you were a state treasurer.
I was finishing up my third term as state treasurer, and I was getting ready to run for governor. I was starting to have fundraisers and to work on it, and then I became treasurer of the United States instead. But running for governor is a little different than running for state treasurer.
The governor's race, because we will not have an incumbent, will be interesting. I remember last time we had a race, Fitzgerald was the candidate.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some problems with the Democratic Party then. I believe correct me if I'm wrong, but the chairman did not even win his election. Is that correct?
I think that's correct. It was a terrible election.
So I guess the question I'm getting to is the Democratic mechanism in Ohio better now?
Oh, yeah. David Peppers, the chairman, he's an excellent chairman. Yeah, you know, there's no problem there.
Sherrod Brown running for re-election.
Yeah.
How do you think that'll go?
Oh, I think he'll win.
He's had, I believe, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren here, I think, in Ohio, campaigning for him.
Yeah, and he had something on the computer from Charlie Sheen the other day. Yeah, he's working it hard, and he has to. But, I think he'll win, yeah.
Do you think his opponent will come close?
I hope not.
What do you make of his opponent?
Now, you're trying to get me in trouble.
No,
yes,
no.
You are. You're trying to get me in trouble. you're baiting me.
No. We can move around that question. We can move around that. It's holiday time. We can go around
right.
that.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, that's okay. Right. We'll just go right past that. And I do want to talk a little bit about Christmas. How will you be spending the holidays this year?
Oh, I'm going to Leslie's. She's in Akron, my daughter. And my new great-granddaughter is going to be there, Zoe. She's 4 months old, and we're all anxious to see her.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
What's it like to be grandma and great-grandma?
Oh, it's great. You just really enjoy watching them grow up. And, they're all growing up. One great-grandson is almost as tall as I am, and and my grandchildren that Beck has, her children, they moved to Upper Arlington, and they're in the Upper Arlington swim team, and they're doing great. Grant has broken 5 records at Upper Arlington since he's been there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
When you had little kids at home, what was Christmas like then?
Somebody would always get sick, and it was always whether we were going to go to Norman's parents or to my parents, Christmas is always fun, no matter where you are.
Do you have anything special you prepare on Christmas?
Well, I'm doing the chocolate dessert this time, but I really like scalloped oysters.
Oh.
And I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, well, I bet nobody's fixing scalloped oysters. What's your favorite?
What are you? Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. I would have to say I do like eggnog.
Do you?
I do. I like it prepared in several different ways. I like when people stick a candy cane in it.
Oh.
Gives it a little minty taste. Mm-hmm. And I like that. And food-wise, I still like the old-fashioned sugar Christmas cookies with the icing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I do like those.
Yeah.
That you only get this time of year. Christmas is in Washington. 94 through 2000, when you were in office. Did you stay in Washington at Christmas?
No, I came home always, but I would go to the lighting of the Christmas tree, and I watched that on television last night, and it was right behind, the White House, and I was right there at Treasury, so it was right there. I would see it every night when I went to drive home, and I really enjoyed the Christmas at the White House, too. I would go to all those parties, and they had beautiful decorations in the White House, always.
Most of us will never get to attend those. What were those like, those parties?
They were always, you stood in line to say hello to the president and the first lady, and you'd have your picture taken. And then there was a lot of good food. I mean, it was nibbly food. It wasn't any sit-down anything. But and then sometimes it was at the vice president's house instead of the president's. They would kind of alternate it with me. I would go to both places different years. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of Treasury. We would. There wasn't really much went on in Treasury as far as the holidays. it was, there was, I don't even think they had a tree, but we shared the tree behind the White House.
correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you say that every year you get an ornament?
Yes. This year it's FDR. They started in 1981 doing this, and next year it'll be Truman. And they're beautiful. And I guess there was a program on TV about that, but I didn't get to see it. I wish I had, because I would have certainly enjoyed it. They started out, I've got all of them in my museum.
Tell people about your museum.
Well, I've got a lot of interesting things in my museum, and I recently got all of these ornaments. I didn't have them, say, a year ago. And we're open, you know, by appointment only, but I really like to show people through.
Now, do people call you directly, or do they call Primrose?
Well, I have a flyer, and they call Primrose on that, but they could call me. I'm in the phone book.
I was there 2 years ago. I didn't see the, is it Christmas ornaments in there now?
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I'll have to get out there.
Yeah, you let me know. I'll just take you through.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to come out. We'll have to make some plans. I'd love to do that.
All right.
It's been a while since I've been out there.
Yes.
Christmas, I tell you, this has been the busiest hour there's been. My goodness. Phone ringing off the hook. You're popular today, Mary Ellen Boyle. Boy. You know, I think back to Christmases when you were a young girl. What were Christmases like when you were home and Mom and Dad were around?
Well, I'd not sleep very well. I'd wake up early and go down and see what was under the tree. And I can't remember going to Grandma's house, but I'm sure we did. You know, I just remember going down and opening the presents. And I tell you, I was shocked about Santa Claus. I guess maybe not to go into that right now.
Yeah, well, that's like Sherrod Brown's opponent. We don't want to go anywhere near those two. We just stay away from them during the holiday.
Yeah.
Do you have any gifts or anything that sticks out in your mind that you had received over the years as a favorite Christmas present?
Well, yes, I had a Betsy Wetsy doll that I really liked.
That was the one.
Yeah.
Is there a Christmas that sticks out in your mind as being a great Christmas?
Well, they were all good. Yeah, I don't remember anything in particular.
Is this a call for the air? Okay. Are they on the line?
No.
No. Okay. Well,
it was Fred Malone. He just wanted to
wish
you a
merry Christmas. Oh, Fred. Yeah.
Well, Fred.
So if you want to say Fred.
Yeah, Fred. Well, Fred, call back quick. We can get you in. 740-383-9944. Mary Ellen will be here for about three more minutes. And that's the voice of Terry Klein. He's been, we got to thank Terry, because all week he's been here for the Christmas party and today. And if you hear the clicking, he's documenting our Christmas here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to have. I hope that's Fred. Here we go. Okay, Fred, Mary Ellen's going to grab a headset here. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt your conversation. I was enjoying your program, but I just wanted to reiterate something you said earlier, Scott, about how gracious that lady is. She has always been ready to accept anything that I ask her to do for the Historical Society, and I really appreciate it. And Mary Ellen, you're just well, I always say you're my favorite politician, and I mean that wholeheartedly.
Oh, thank you,
Fred. You're
just
such a gracious and lovely lady, and I just wanted to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year.
Well, thank you, and I wish you the very same, yes.
Well, thank you so much, and you know I'll be calling on you again sometime here in 2018 to do something for the Historical Society.
Yes, and I'll be happy to do it, whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Thank you, Fred. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
You know, I just love the Historical Society. I was active in the Historical Society and Treasury, and I was an officer until I left, and I couldn't. I was ready to be president of it, but I left that year, so it didn't happen. But I spent a lot of time with the Historical Society.
Fred is a wonderful champion of that organization.
Yes, he is.
He comes on. He has done so much. He was on here this morning and gave us a nice Christmas gift, which is wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful man, Fred Malone. And I think that's what the holidays are all about, thanking the people who make the years so happy. And honestly, when I booked you this week, Mary Ellen, I didn't realize it was 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I pulled that interview up and I thought... 10 years ago, and Fred is absolutely right. You are the most accommodating, nice, genuine, personable. You are one of the few people I can truly gush over. I remember. I'm going to tell one story. I told the first story, but one time Mary Ellen was coming in. She was still living in Maryland, and you were coming in for a holiday. I think it was Christmas again, and we were doing a TV taping. You came from the airport to be on the show. You and Norm came to the studio.
Oh, yeah.
It was Charlie and Marianne Michaels.
Yes.
You didn't even go unpack your luggage yet. And you have always been that nice to me. And, boy, I'll never be able to repay it. It's just been wonderful.
Well, I tell you, you've been nice to me, too, I'll tell you. As I said, you're my favorite interviewer.
Well, that is
and I've had a lot of people interview me. In fact, there's some pretty famous ones there too. So
I hold that high, and it is true. Mary Ellen is a treasure, and you need to get to the museum. You need to learn about what she accomplished for women. Yeah. And I'm always on Mary Ellen, though, about the book.
That is in hold. I've got to find out about that.
We've got to work that one
out. Yes, it's kind of a concern right now.
Mary Ellen, we hopefully we'll get together soon. Now we're back together, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and I wish you a Merry Christmas.
And that's all the time we have for today. We will be back tomorrow. Don't miss it, starting at 10:15 in the morning. Okay. This is Scott Spears for This Day, Heading for the Dugout.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may have hearing loss. Hearing loss develops gradually, and treating it as soon as you recognize the warning signs can prevent it from getting worse. A free in-office hearing screening from Beltone can help determine your